time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. For better vision, near or far, should have gone to Specsavers. Get $150 off Specsavers' quality range of multifocal lenses. Limited time, conditions apply. Yeah. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Good afternoon, Australia. He's not here. Called up about an hour ago and says, I got the chills. And I said, are they multiplying? Then he hung up. And then he rang back. He said, no, I'm sick. So this is going to go down as a Mick RDO. Fast becoming a Friday specialist at this stage. So no Mick today, but a big couple hours coming up for you. Judith Lucy. We'll be hearing from Jude, who her and Mick got questioned by the cops. We'll let you know what happened there. Glenn Robbins, what brought him to tears? Glenn Robbins will be joining us. And is it okay to steal from a pregnant woman? I would have thought so. That's all coming up. And we're here thanks to Specsavers, where you can get $150 off their quality range of multifocal lenses. Limited time conditions apply. It is Molloy, Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
How about some world news?
All bases covered. It's like spinning a globe when you listen to that intro, isn't it?
Amazing. We're everywhere.
I feel like I'm tapped into the entire world. Let's start in Italy. The Italian king of absentees allegedly, listen to this, skipped work for how long do you think?
So
you think Australians, we like taking a sickie.
Maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
A month.
Yeah, 15 years.
What the hell?
How good is that? Hey, good, Dave. I know we call you Friday Dave.
Stop it.
Dave, you have. I've seen you take a long weekend.
This is coming from a guy who's got it written in his contract to have how many RDOs a year?
Five. Five RDOs.
Then you get all those extra of holidays because you're talent on the network. What about the rest of us?
And the RDOs, by the way, I can take with like 15 minutes. Jay used to work with me on Breakfast Radio, and Jay's fear was the phone ringing, my phone ringing at 5:45. Hello? Jay's Mickey. I don't know if we can make it in today.
If we got a call from you before we called you with your wake-up call, we knew we were in trouble.
Wait, hang on. Stop. You rang Mick to wake him up?
Every morning.
Yeah.
You don't have an alarm?
I had a wake-up call from the Governor-General. But listen to this. Italian king of absentees, Skip worked 15 years. He was a public sector worker. Right. That's why no one cottoned
on. 15 years.
Described as the king of absentees by the Italian press. Broken the record, skip work. Police say the hospital employee, doing anything, obviously wasn't bringing the heart transplant.
That's right.
Continued to be paid a monthly salary amounting to a total of $834,000 despite not turning up to work. At the hospital. You're in the wrong industry, Dave.
I really am. By the way, I think I had one day off last year.
Dave, you're
one
the king.
Day off. I am not the
Everyone
king.
Everyone knows.
And you're allowed a certain amount of sick days per year, I believe, Jay. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know.
But I'm not sure you really want us to go back and count.
No, I'm telling you right now, you don't need to count.
It was like in Detroit in the old days. They used to say, never buy a Monday car or a Friday car. Because all the Detroit automotive workers used to either not sign in for the weekend because they wanted an early weekend or were so hungover that they would not come to work. So most cars that went on a Friday or a Monday on the production line only had half the bolts in them because every second bloke was missing.
Right?
Don't buy a Monday, don't buy a Friday car. As they say when you're listening to Dave, don't listen to a Monday.
That's true.
Hey, also in Italy, bad gelati. Could be illegal under a new Italian law. Now, this is what I love. Italian Parliament changes every 2 months.
Right.
They don't have many rules. You can do just about anything, but don't piss fart around with the gelati. What they're saying is they're declaring war on ice cream sellers who pump compressed air into their mixtures to make them look fluffier.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you can't do that. Imagine going to a gelati van. And getting your gelati, which is like a balloon, like a helium balloon, float, you lift you off the ground.
No, you need a bit more substance than that.
Because I love my gelati.
Oh, look at you. Of course you do.
Okay. Yellow card, Dave. yellow card. Jeez Louise. Don't you laugh.
He's, well, man, I'm just saying he's on to you.
Maybe I need a bit more air. I'm going to pump some more air into my gelatis. But how's this? Because I love this about the Italians. They take their food very seriously.
Of course they do.
Like pizzas.
Oh, mate. Lasagna.
Lasagna. You wouldn't want to muck around with a lasagna. You'd get a horse's head in your bed.
You bet.
By the way, if you're putting a horse's head in the bed, don't fill it full of air. That's the other thing the Italians get very upset about. And just quickly, before we go to the break, the French, we're in France now.
Oh, yeah.
The French Prime Minister is being mailed ladies' underwear as lingerie stores protest lockdown rules. Prime Minister Jean Castex is being sent ladies' underwear in the mail as part of a protest by lingerie store owners whose outlets have been forced to close under the country's lockdown.
Right.
Wow. I'd be surprised if the French Prime Minister isn't actually popping those on. Do you know what? That should be the French flag.
What's that?
Women's underwear. Women's lingerie underwear. That's how they operate.
Up the flagpole.
All rise for the national anthem. Just a pair of knickers. Lingerie knickers. How French. Ha ha. Isn't that fantastic? Ah, the French, what they get upset at.
For the drive home, this is Malloy on Triple M.
Glenn Robbins in studio right now on Malloy.
And you're emotional during the week, Glenn. What happened to you? Can you tell me?
Well,
I heard around the grapevine that you were upset.
We're at IKEA.
Yep.
Happily shopping, you know, as you do, following the lines in the right direction, going through the right department, cutting off, going between, none of that. But, you know, and then I hear a voice. Hi, Glenn. And then I turn around. It's that thing where you go, don't know who you are, can't place you.
Thing
where you're going through the files. And she said, I used to be the nurse at your old vet.
Okay.
And I used to nurse your cat, Torty.
Torty?
Torty. Tortoiseshell, Burmese tortoiseshell.
Okay, gotcha.
And she said, I've been there for a while. How's Torty? And I said, we had to have it put down.
Oh, sorry.
So she didn't know that?
She didn't know that because she had left.
Wow. She's waded in, though. She would have known it was old and probably.
My bottom lip went because
tell me how long
19
was it?
19 years. She said, oh, nice. She said to me that this is true. She loved Torty so much that when she left, her aim was to go and find a cat just like Torty.
Oh.
And she found one and she's still got him to this day.
Hey.
And that threw me.
Because
Torty, 19 years, we'd look out the window together and she'd kiss me on the face.
Oh,
you can hear me quivering a bit now.
Hey.
I had to have to sit down on the couch. Lucky there was a couch by.
Right. Do you know what you should do? Go and steal her cat.
Well.
It's just like Torty.
Yeah.
Upset? You were genuinely upset.
Yeah, I went into the bathroom section and pretended to put a bit of water on the face. There was no
running
water. Yeah. Then I went and had some of those balls, those IKEA.
Oh, Swedish meatballs.
Oh, Swedish meatballs. Yeah. That was okay. We did that.
Okay.
So I'm interested. I brought some things.
What are you thinking?
That I thought, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of a tear.
So what did you do? Did you go and write lists? What did you do? Did you duke it out? Did you did you become emotional?
Mm.
What do you do when you're emotional?
What do you do?
What makes you emotional?
What tears you up? Is it a scene from a film? Is it a bit of music? What is it for you?
What gets you?
I was judging a talent quest at a school, and a boy came out, and I won't say what was wrong with him, but he had some physical issues.
Right.
And he managed to get himself to the microphone, and I'm serious, and then he sang the Michael Jackson song.
This one.
I'll be there for you.
There is love.
I'll be there. I sang I'll be there. And I'm telling you, I was gone. He went on to win the event, and then we got him back up. I think his name was Shane. I said, and then you're the winner. And then we hit the music again, and the whole school was singing "I'll Be There" with him standing up there punching the air. I'm getting goosebumps now.
It's about a rat, isn't it?
Is it
a song about a rat?
Was it? I thought it was that's Ben. That was the
that's Ben,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Ben, the two
of us. So I've Googled a couple of things.
What do you got?
And so he's a little kiddie and he wasn't travelling well.
No, he wasn't travelling well. And he said, I will be there for you.
Yeah.
Not for me.
He broke open the Michael Jackson and you've gone off.
I've gone.
Have you gone the blub?
Yeah, I had to pretend to get something. I've gone down, get something out of my bag, have a bit of a wipe of the eyes and go, this is beautiful, man.
I have an emotional reaction to music.
Do you?
Sometimes. This always gets me.
Sorry, you know, he tells a story. He shares wisdom. Yeah, he's a loving guy.
I'm making it up. I'm sorry for not taking it seriously.
No, no, okay. I've picked a couple online.
There you go.
Okay, now, apparently this gets people a bit teary.
Oh, bagpipe. Amazing Grace.
Bagpipe.
Is it an ad for...
But that's not teary. That's, you get the tissues out and you stuff them in your ear.
Yeah, you that's go, not doing it for me.
Okay.
That's not doing it for you. A mull of Kintyre, if you would be the closest.
Wings, yeah.
Or Meat Free Monday.
Dave, you
got one? There's one that always, for me, is a Nine Inch Nails did the original, but Johnny Cash, when he was on his last, he recorded a song called Hurt. And you could I'm telling you right now, Glenn, I can't get all through the song without grabbing the Kleenex.
Look at him.
Very emotional. Man. Look at
him. What a song.
Oh, mate.
Have you watched the History of Country and Mr. Music on SBS?
I have not.
Oh, you should watch that.
Right.
Can I have another go?
Yeah.
When it really hits me.
Yeah.
When it moves me.
Yeah.
It's usually something like this.
See? All I'll say is I bring opportunity. I bring you an opportunity for you to show some vulnerability to show that maybe you have a heart,
one?
But you don't surprise me that you don't. You're a black-hearted
show
man.
Show me another one.
Okay, here's a tissue. Take a tissue.
So
you take a tissue. Okay, I want you to close your eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
You're back. You're on the couch. Mm. Your feet are up.
Yeah. Right.
You're with your favorite boy or girl.
Yeah,
you got your arms around each other, and you hear this line.
Don't forget. I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
That's a yellow card for you. That's a yellow card. Can I have one more song quickly? Just quickly.
Come on,
here it is. One more song.
Listen.
Are you not taking it seriously? We've got to go, Glenn.
Good work, guys.
Thank you.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Thanks for tuning in. Mick's not here. It's an RDO. He's called in sick. Should be back on Monday. He's probably got his feet up watching The Queen's Gambit.
Warning! Chick flick alert!
Here we go.
All right. Well, listen, this is very fluid at the moment, this segment, because I was about to come on and do an endorsement of a chick flick, one I watched last
night. Endorsement. So
endorsement.
How did you come across breaking all the rules?
I was sitting at home last night. Let's just say I had a few hours up my sleeve.
Okay.
And I've really given Rick and Morty a real...
Okay, right, yeah.
That's not too young for eight-year-old boys, is it?
I've not seen it, but from recommendations, maybe a bit
they
adult.
Don't get a lot of the senior jokes.
No,
they
get
a lot of the sexual references.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
But it's, you know, you can only have so much fun mucking around down that end of the pool.
Yeah. So you had some time up your sleeve.
I don't know why.
It
was just, I gave it a burl, and I have to say I found it thoroughly enjoyable, I watched four episodes back-to-back of The Queen's Gambit, which is about, I know, just people want to take a minute.
Queen's Gambit.
You just want to
You've given this like chick flick alert. I think every.
I've been warning people about
this as much as we can.
And I watched it, and I thoroughly enjoyed
shocked.
It. That's a written statement that I had prepared, but I've only just found out. And now this is breaking news, and it may affect my endorsement stroke recommendation.
What's happened?
As Jay enters the studio during the song, I've said to Jay. So for those of you who don't know, so it's about the best chess player in the world. It turns out to be this chick who's great.
She's addicted to it, isn't she? She wants to be the best.
Boarding house, and she gets trained from a young age, and she takes on the men, and she's kind of crazy.
Yeah, Beth Harmon.
She doesn't mind a drink, and you go, this is just an incredible story.
Mm.
I wish I had a daughter that I could pass this on to. Maybe not so much the drugs and stuff, but, you know, everything else. What a role model.
So you're all in.
I'm
you're
all
bagging
in.
This. And you're so your chick flick alert.
Her name's Beth Harmon, and I go to Jay. Jay, can you Google Beth Harmon for me? And he Googles it and shows me the pictures of the girl in the movie. And the real Beth Harmon. At which point the whole office bursts out laughing, going, "What?
It's not a true story.
It's not a true story.
Not at all.
Come on, mate.
I thought it was a true story.
It's a novel.
I can't believe it. Based on a book. Based on a book.
1983 novel by Walter Tevis called Queen's Gambit.
Are you telling me that Beth Harmon never sat in the basement of a girl's home
in Kentucky
learning chess from the janitor.
No, that never happened.
Well,
oh, mate.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for wasting my time. That was a true, I was convinced that was true. Why would you make that up? Why would you make up a story? I thought, God,
why does anybody make anything up? Why did Ian Fleming make up James Bond?
Yeah.
Why was anybody making
anything? Because it's, you know, cute. This is a dumb story to make up because it's so far-fetched.
Right. So
the
you believe
the best chess player in the world.
Oh, oh, God.
But that's why I thought. Good on this girl. I thought it was a stretch that you could be the best chess player in the world and that good looking. Spoiler alert, guys. It's pretty easy on the eye.
Right.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Do you know what I think
actress.
It is? Because Rob Sitch once, during a round of golf, told me this was an excellent book.
Right.
And started describing it to me. And as he did, I was thought he was describing a
real life setup,
a biography.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Of a person. So and that.
Oh, so Rob Sitch's
fault.
Thank you,
Robert. Right. Was the reason I got interested. I thought I'll give it a crack.
Rob Sitch
spoke highly of the book and this Beth character, so I'll give it a burl. And as it turns out, it's a tissue of lies.
Oh.
I knew
Gambit.
The fact that she was okay. I thought she can't be the smartest person in the world. And also the best looking.
Why not?
Very good looking girl, right. I've got to say. Worth a look for that reason alone. And probably why Rob Sitch's interest has peaked.
Interesting.
But I feel let down and
humiliated is what you
listen,
are.
In your time of need, I don't want to defend you because I think it's very funny that you thought it was real. But in your defense,
yes.
Netflix brands it as a historical
Thank
film.
You. I was led to believe that what
they do
I was
that?
Watching was a slice of life. Is The Handmaid's Tale true?
No.
That's not true.
It's made up.
So that's made up. Well, I don't know anymore. It's a blurry line. Do you know, we had this same conversation on this show in regard to Picnic and Hanging Rock.
You did.
Picnic and Hanging Rock. Remember we sit there and then we in your conversation said, well, man, imagine going up there and actually finding them.
Yeah.
Imagine being the one. Mate, it's not real.
No.
What are you talking about? Why would
it's
you make
novel.
It up? It always involves hot chicks and running around. It's always chick flicks.
You're not alone, though,
Lie to me.
Colin's called through. I think Colin.
Colin. Hello,
there
Colin.
You go, mate.
Yeah, but it's Colin, you're in the same boat?
Yes, mate, I am. I thought Queen Gambit was a true story as well.
So
dumbfounded the moment you mentioned that it was
it's not true.
So you're just finding this out now, Colin.
Yeah, I'm only just finding it out now.
Alex is on the line. He's jumped in. What did you think was real?
Mate, yeah, I was watching A Star Is Born with the missus, and at the end of the movie, I said, oh, I don't like Lady Gaga anymore because I've never heard her speak about her husband. So, yeah, it was classic.
Yeah, a bit of a simpleton. Yeah. Hey, duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane for you, Alex.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
You're tuned in to Malloy. Jim Jefferies, very funny guy, calls LA home, been there for many years now, but he wants to come home to Australia, visit his family, and he's going to quarantine for a couple of weeks. Then he's going to do some shows around Australia as well. A bunch have already sold out. All the Sydney shows have sold out. There's a couple available in Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth, and one in Brisbane as well. FrontierTouring.com/Jim Jefferies. Here he is. Now, Jim's not just a stand-up comedian. He's an actor as well in a zombie movie.
I think one of my finest performances was with Rhys Darby and Ken John.
Ken very John, funny people.
In a movie called Killing Hasselhoff. David Hasselhoff was in the film. And I show up for the movie, and like the day before, they said, oh, we need a third person in this film. I said, use Rhys Darby. He's a mate of mine. Yep. He's hysterical. And they're like, oh, brilliant. So they sign Rhys up. Then they get to the set, and they go, we can't have two people with accents. And Rhys says he can't do an American accent. And I went, I'll give it a go.
Right.
And I've never tried before. I'm doing an American accent through the whole bloody thing. So anyway, so the first time I meet Hasselhoff, I rock up to the set. Now, in the movie, we had the Knight Rider car there. And Hasselhoff was in a karate gi, and he was, like, practicing punches out the front, standing next to the Knight Rider car.
Is this for the film?
Just for the film. He's just getting ready. He was just getting ready. And then he goes, "Hey, Jim Jefferies. Oh, great. Yeah, I heard you were going to be in the film. Hey, you're Australian. You ever been to Burleigh? Do you want to invest in a property that I have in Burleigh?" He tried to get me in a real estate scam, like, within seconds of meeting him. Anyway, so what happened was we had Justin Bieber was in the movie. And he was the voice of Kit. That was the thing.
Great.
I've never seen the film. I might add to this whole thing. But he was the voice of Kit. And so Entertainment Tonight came down to the set, and they went through all the actors, and they went, because when the Biebs was on the film, there was drones flying over, and this was like when he was very young, people trying to find out what he was doing. Yeah. Anyway, so the entertainment reporter comes up, and they go up to Rhys Darby, and they go, "So what do you do in the movie?" And Rhys goes, "I do A, B, C, and D." And they go, "Hey, we saw Justin Bieber in the film. So can you tell us anything about Justin's part?" And Rhys went, "Oh, no, you'll have to see the film. Go see the film. You'll be able to tell what goes on if you see the film." And then they cut to David Hasselhoff, and he's like, no, I can't tell you. It's the magic of movies. If you watch the film, maybe you'll find out." Now, no one told me about this. They come to my dressing room, and I go, "Oh, he's the voice of the Knight Rider car," right? Now, no one had walked around to me going, "Don't tell anyone that the Biebs is the Knight Rider car. You'll ruin the big reveal." Anyway, so the next day I rock up to my dressing room, and Hasselhoff's standing in front of the door. And he's pissed. I think he may have paid for the film. I'm not sure.
Right, okay.
And I walk up and I go, "G'day, David." And he goes, oh, "So if you have a secret you aren't told, there's telegram, telemessage, or telejim Jeffries, am I right?"
this sounds like the best movie set ever. Because he's sober, Hasselhoff. I hear he likes a drink. You got to get him. His scene should be shot in the morning.
Yeah, no, I think he was sober. I don't know. I didn't have a lot. I had a couple of scenes with him. I didn't have a lot to do with the guy. He intensely disliked me from about day one after the whole Bieber thing. So that was never going to... Yeah. I think he blames me for the movie not doing well. But the movie didn't do well for several reasons. Yeah. It was about David Hasselhoff.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy on Triple M. To gather back around your wireless, people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
Massive hour. It's the last one for the week for Malloy. Best time of the week, Friday night. What a mixed feeling now. I mean, called in, said, "Oh, I feel a bit nauseous, a bit fluey." It's interesting, isn't it? On a Friday. Anyway, we'll find out Monday how he's feeling. Back on the radio then. Big hour coming up, though, because Judith Lucy, she and Mick appeared in Cracker Jack together, and they got questioned by the cops. It's an interesting yarn. I'll be hearing from Jude in just a moment. We'll also be hearing from Titus O'Reilly as well, and Paul Kelly. He played for us, he did Careless, and he's back out on the road. I'll give you all the tour dates with that in just a moment. Big hour coming up. It's Malloy, and it's thanks to Specsavers, where you can get $150 off their quality range of multifocal lenses. Limited time conditions apply.
This is Malloy.
You got Malloy on Triple M. She co-starred with him in Cracker Jack. She's an author. It's Judith Lucy. She's got a new book out as well.
I better be in this.
It's all about you. Don't you know that? The book is simply in two sections. Right. It's before Mick and after Mick.
Well, wow.
That's it. So, crikey. You know, you'd better get reading.
Is there anything I should flip straight to?
Probably. But it's entirely appropriate because, look, I'm not going to muck around. I've been on the flog all day. I've been talking about myself, talking about the book.
Yes.
But you keep coming up. This is the crazy thing. Firstly, I did an in conversation with Kaz Cook on the weekend. You know, you do your old Q&A with the audience at the end. Look, it's a 1,000-seater. I reckon there were two heterosexual men in the audience, and one of them was my manager. But the other heterosexual man, during the question period, stood up and said, "Oh, Jude, Cracker Jack. Can you give me some behind the scenes gossip on Cracker Jack? And you know what I told him?
What?
I told him about the body.
Oh, the body.
Yes.
Well, you would be referring to the dead body in Corowai.
I would.
Can you explain the story?
Okay,
this is one of the great ones.
So,
this is, I love
so,
this.
And by the way, he was pretty rapt with this answer too, I've got to say. So for a week of the filming of Cracker Jack, and I'm certainly going to say it was my favourite week of filming. So we all went away to Corowai. Let's face it, it was like a school camp for alcoholics. and we loved
that's
it.
That's right. That's right.
But then just after we left her on the very last day of filming, was a body discovered in the river?
I think it was a couple of days before because your body was discovered and then we all had to be interviewed.
Yes, that's right. And that was the other hilarious thing because at the time I was with the wonderful Gareth Skinner who did the soundtrack.
Yes, of course.
And so it drove him crazy because every day after filming I'd come home with stories of Bill Hunter and Lois Ramsey and, Mick and I got drunk with Bill again. And, you know, the stories were great. And then I came home one day and he's looking a bit shady and I'm going, oh, what's the problem? And he's like, every day you've come home and bored me with details of the filming about this bloody movie that sure I'm doing the music, but I'm not part of any of the fun. What you haven't mentioned is why a cop has left a message on our answering machine saying, it's Senior Detective Constable, blah, blah, wanting to talk to Judith Lucy about a body. So he was a bit miffed.
So my other favourite story of that is when it came time and I was interviewed by the detective.
Right.
But he said, and can you tell me your whereabouts at the time? And I said, I was drinking with Bill Hunter. He said, that's what everybody says. That's what everybody keeps saying.
And everybody would have been telling the truth.
And that's right.
And that's the great thing. And then today I was interviewed by The Big Issue.
Oh, yes.
And before the lovely woman, Mandy, got into the interview, she said, and I just need to tell you, my favourite film is Cracker Jack.
Wow. Yes.
And my spirit animal is your character, Nancy. Because she said, because I just saw that woman. She was a hard-drinking journalist who took no nonsense, and that's me. So it's all the universe has been throwing me towards you for the last couple of days, Mick Malloy.
Nancy was very well cast, is what I would say
well,
to you.
Well, I did say to that woman, it really stretched me as an actor, that part. It was such a struggle to play a woman who liked to drink.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. And obviously who was very attracted to you.
Our on-screen kiss, which was still they talk about in terms of Bogey and Bacall.
It was electric. It was electric. The chemistry was absolutely incredible. It's palpable now. I'm getting something right here.
Wow.
Look out, I'm pregnant. And that's not easy because I'm menopausal.
It's all in the new book. All I remember is six staff members running in and pretty much capsicum spraying me after the event.
This is Malloy.
Malloy. All right, Mick.
Attention all Malloy staff. Time for an urgent team meeting. Please see Mick in his office after the show. Wherever that is. Mm. Actually, just head into the studio now. Mickey needs you.
James has joined us in the studio.
Hi, guys.
James,
yeah.
You've seen something disturbing to you.
It's been relayed.
It's been relayed to you. And you were a prefect
when
you were at school, and you're kind of like the show prefect.
I think, show prefect, just let's switch off our phones for the team meeting, Mick.
Let's remember our place in the studio. Shall we? Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You will remember that when the vending machine was on the fritz, there was a spare...
Remember it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The great vending machine fritz of 21.
And two Kit Kats were deployed. I left 1B because that was the right thing to do. Now, same can't be said for the rest of this team. It has been...
Who are we talking about?
Dangerous Dave.
Dangerous Dave. Yep. Here we go. What's Dange been up?
So it's come back through the head of sport here at Triple M that apparently you're pilfering chocolates from pregnant women. That's your caper.
Oh, my God.
Let's
paint the picture. So also, you let's give them your bona fides in this department. You were seen raiding once the charity chocolate bin and then taking change out. and then
no,
taking
they were my charity chocolates, my kids' football club. That there was an excess in the till that I took advantage of.
So you've done the sums, you've done the numbers, yeah, and removed some money from the charity chocolate.
It all came clear for the rest of the chocolates.
Okay,
yeah.
So we know you've got form in this department, but so just tell me what's going on. So you're saying we have a pregnant.
Yeah,
Abby,
congratulations to Abby.
Abby organises all the prizes for the show in Brick Lane and the rest of it.
You're no stranger to the prize cupboard either, are you?
And she's
seen leaving the building.
I got my Makita.
All thanks to Abby.
Now, what's happened? Bring me up to speed.
So, late one night, Abby's working from home as well, and you've been seen going to a desk, opening, you know where her chocolates are.
Hang on, she's at home.
Yeah.
So she's not here.
Half the week she's at home, and then she comes in the rest of the week.
So while she's not here, you go over to her desk. You open her drawer.
Which is in my eye line right now. I can see exactly where
And you steal chocolate from a pregnant woman, which is probably, by the way, her craving. She's pregnant. She comes she goes, I really crave some chocolate right now. All I need is chocolate. Opens the drawer and drops to her knees and goes, no.
Come on.
What's your...
Lay off the chocolate. I know. What it is, it's a second drawer that she has all her chocolates in there. I'm joking. Abby knows I'm joking.
Oh, my God.
I love Abby to pieces.
What did you take?
She has her second drawer, which is full of like little Mars bars, little mini Mars bars. And this has been our thing for years.
Is it? Like, you just steal
I just go, Abs,
her?
Has he got anything? Yeah, second drawer, you know where it is. So I know what the stash is in the second drawer, and I know that I have permission from Abby Corson to take said chocolate. It's only a fun size Mars bar. It's a tiny one.
That's your defence. It was only fun size, Your Honour.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
You need to explain yourself. In the last segment, we were talking about you thieving from an openly pregnant woman here at the office.
Abby.
And Abby, even that could be too much information. But then you went and gave... Abby's full name.
Abby Corson, works Abby in Corson. Promotions here.
Turns out, as we've just been out of the office, that not everyone knew, and Abby hadn't told everyone that she was pregnant. Anyway, you may as well explain it to Abby. She's here now.
Abby.
Come in.
Oh,
please come
God.
To the microphone. Abby, firstly...
Yay.
I'm so sorry.
I thought everybody knew. Firstly, congratulations.
Thanks,
and
Mick.
Secondly, what would you like to say to Doug? Because normally that's a big moment, isn't it? Letting people know.
I hadn't got round to telling everyone quite yet.
Oh, wow.
So the best part was when my partner's uncle just messaged saying, thanks for telling me the news.
Yeah, so even your own family
don't know.
I thought
we were closer than that.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Abby.
You suck.
You suck.
But here's the thing.
You're prone
to... We've got our relationship with the second drawer, don't we? We've had it for years.
We have a food-based relationship.
We have a food-based relationship.
Not to share each other's pregnancy secrets.
You've overstepped the line. Oh, by the way, Dave.
What?
Sorry, Abby, I'm just going straight to the source. Is it a boy or a girl?
Please go. Announce.
I don't know. Do you know yet?
It's a girl.
Oh, it's a girl! That's awesome. There you go, Uncle.
Wow, I think that's Malloy's first gender reveal.
Dave's done it.
I am humiliated. I'm terribly sorry I've done that to you, Abby. I feel really embarrassed about that. So
I brought you the rest of the chocolates from to cheer you up.
Thank you, Abby.
Oh, my God.
You are congratulations from everyone.
Sorry, Abby. Thank you.
Dave is going to organise a baby shower for you.
We will. That's what we'll do.
Well, we'll get there.
All right.
Good on you, Abby. Abby. You're a good sport. How do you think that went?
Oh, mate. Thanks for doing that. That's a stitch up.
Apparently your phone's running hot.
Yeah, I know. I walked out there before and they're all yelling and screaming, going, what's going on? Oh, I know what's going on. I come back to the studio.
Worst team meeting ever.
Worst team meeting ever.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy on Triple M.
It's Malloy, and it's thanks to Specsavers. Get $150 off Specsavers quality range of multifocal lenses. Limited time, conditions apply. They offer the OCT scan at no extra cost, which I got during the week as well. We've got your multifocal lenses, which allows you to see at multiple distances because they have different sections of viewing. You get your close-up, your far away, and everything in between.
Now, Dave, and I both went in to get our eyes checked today at Specsavers.
By the way, the service was impeccable.
We were
looked after today. They're brilliant staff.
But you were grounded. You were effectively grounded by Patrick, who did our eye test.
What happened? No.
Not fit to drive. Not well, fit to drive. No.
That's what you say.
Hang on. Hang on.
No.
Get Patrick on the line. He'll tell us.
Oh, my God.
You are so, like, goggle-eyed, google-eyed.
I'm short-sighted, so I can see up close perfectly.
You couldn't read the bottom line of the first page, Dave.
I reckon they put the lights down a little bit for that, so I couldn't see it. So I think it was deliberate.
Mate,
they made it a bit hard.
I spoke to Patrick. We said, what are we going to get him? And he's going, well, you know, it's, you know, like those two magnifying glasses he pulled out and put on his eyes. He said, we can do it.
Yeah. Well, I use them for driving primarily, so that's what I use glasses for. It's on my license. It's got the conditions, you know.
Do you know what I talked to him about? Getting your windscreen for the Getz made prescription.
Oh, that'd be unreal.
Great idea.
You've got a Specsavers windscreen.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't need the glasses. You get in and the whole windscreen is
if anyone could do it, they could do it. Yeah, Specsavers.
Because they're the best in the business.
Well, I know what they're doing.
Do you know what he said? He did the test on me.
There's some sort of patient sort of optometrist confidentiality here. But anyway.
No, Patrick spilled the beans. Right. He said you're a shocker. You know what he said? And what? I'm going to use his direct words. What? You are Triple M's Mr. Magoo. Triple M's Mr. Magoo.
Like this guy here.
Magoo, you've done it again.
Come on.
You're in danger to yourself.
I don't drive the Getz on the freeway going.
Roadhog.
Played by who?
That's Jim Backus, who was the guy from
Thurston Howell the Third.
Gilligan's, yeah.
Who was Thurston Howell the First on the second,
yeah,
do you reckon?
Yeah. Maybe. Magoo, you've done it again.
How about you, though?
Do you know what he said? I mean this, Rosie. Do you know what he said about my eyeballs? He said they're hot. He said...
You've got hot eyeballs.
I'm not eyeballs. Sure where the
Patrick... It's not often eyeballs get ogled because they usually do the ogling, but he said my eyeballs are hot and my retinas could be supermodels. there's no value in me saying this.
Right, okay.
But he said, I'm good to go. I have a system.
Really?
Yeah.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
It's Mick's RDO. He's not here. He's at home. He's sick. He's got his blankie and his hot water bottle. He's back on Monday. Probably a 50-50 chance. Titus O'Reilly, he knows everything about sport. And an update on some new cricket bats.
We should mention that they're looking at using bamboo instead of willow
is
in
this
cricket
true?
Bats. This is true.
For what reason and what end?
So the real reason is willow is it takes a long time to grow. You would know this. Always growing willow. 15 years.
Agriculture. What do you call it? A botanist?
Forestry.
Yeah. Whatever.
You've proven what an expert you are straight away.
You're an arborist.
It takes 15 years. There's a shortage. So they've done some tests and showed bamboo can actually work just as well, if not better, than willow.
Okay, who's done these tests?
These scientists have done these tests. They could have been doing a vaccine. But instead, they went, no, let's not get distracted by this minor pandemic. Let's focus on what's important in life, and that's improving cricket bats.
Working on the new bamboo bat.
But the best thing about it is bamboo is not a wood. It's not a tree. It's a grass.
Right.
And anyone that's played club cricket knows grass is often used to improve performance.
There's a time and a place for bamboo. It's on the pan pipe. That's bamboo. Is that bamboo? Is it?
Perhaps the bats can be built to just, you can also blow on them in between. Play a bit of a tune after year to six.
Mate, I don't want to play with a bamboo bat. I want to play with the willow. What about the aluminium bat? There was one in history.
Dennis Lilly's.
Do you remember the...
Yeah, it got banned straight away.
It got...
But because Dennis Lilly carried it out, they all sold out and he made a fortune. And then they were banned. So everyone bought them.
We had Greg Chappell on the front bar recently and he said the same. He said, I just had to go. He said his most important job as captain of the Australian cricket team during that period was being like a teaser pony for Dennis Lilly and getting him on the pitch, off the pitch. And when he saw him walking, with the bat, he knew Dennis was trying to get a reaction out of him. So he just said, I'm not even going to bother. I'm going to wait.
That?
And then when the umpires.
Yeah. But that aluminium bat, he was able to take it back to South Australia for a 5-cent refund.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
That's it for Malloy's RDO. Mick, get better. Rest up for the weekend. Back on deck next Monday with another big week of guests too. Tom Gleisner on Monday is going to join us. Nate Valvo will be in. Bill Bailey. Oh, hang on a minute. Merrick Watts. Jim Jeffries again. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you Monday for another Malloy. Triple M.
This has been the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Get $150 off Specsavers quality range of multifocal lenses for better vision near or far. Should have gone to Specsavers. Limited time, conditions apply.